you give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever.
Hello and welcome to Filmwatch. This is Glenn. I'm here with Daniel.
Hello.
And tonight we're going to review Michael Winterbottom's film, new on DVD, called The Killer Inside Me, starring Casey Affleck, Jessica Alba, and Kate Hudson. Now, I'm just going to give a very quick just kind of description of the premise of this movie, and then I think we're going to get right into spoilers. So if you do not want to hear about the ending and events of The Killer Inside Me, don't listen any farther past the next minute or so. Because we're going to get right into it, because this is really not a movie that we can talk about without spoiling it, or apparently without drinking scotch. Well, here's to you, sir.
Yes, Wild Turkey embodies the spirit of Texas.
Well, yours is not actually scotch, but I was not going to call you out on that.
I prefer Wild Turkey.
All right, fair enough. So this is a film about... this is a film about a small town sheriff in the 1950s.
I would say 40s or 50s.
40s or 50s, yeah. And he's the sheriff of the small town, and he's asked to go hassle a prostitute and convince her to leave town, basically. Now, the prostitute is played by Jessica Alba, and he ends up striking up a relationship of sorts with her.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Indeed. And it gets increasingly bizarre, and it ends with him murdering her. Now, this happens very quickly, and I don't think we're really spoiling much there. This was how this movie was sold to me, and I think from the trailer was this is a small town sheriff who is also a murderer, and it's right there in the title as well.
Right.
So, but it's kind of just what happens as a result of this initial murder, and kind of what ensues as he tries to defend himself. Now, I think that's where the plot description is going to end, and I think we're gonna get into spoilers here. So, but let's just very quickly, like or dislike, Daniel?
Really on the fence.
All right,
I can't really go either or.
I'm kind of in a similar place, so I think that's why we need to get into spoilers straight away. So, so they start up this abusive relationship with each other almost immediately. Like she's slapping the shit out of him, and he flips her over on the bed and starts spanking her. Now it's with his belt, quite brutally and quite graphically, like with bruises appearing in the moment. And it must be said that it has been said by a great many people that the depiction of violence against women in this movie is frankly horrendous.
It's pretty brutal. I mean, you know, Jessica Alba, of course, she's like, no, I'm crying, ooh, but I like it.
Well, in many ways, this was kind of the quiet and controversial hit of festivals. I mean, there were people raving about it. There were in much the same way as Lars von Trier's Antichrist last year, there were people raving about it, and there were people accusing it of misogyny. And, of course, the stars were stepping up and defending it in the same way as Antichrist. Jessica Alba was talking about how much she liked the film and so forth. At the very least, she gives kind of an interesting performance.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of evoking the sort of doomed temptress thing that she was doing in Sin City to some degree.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, she hasn't outside of that relationship, she has nothing else to do in the movie.
Yeah. Small town hooker in this oil town in Texas. Now Casey Affleck, before we get into what happens with his character, just what did you think of this performance from him?
I liked it. He had a nice quiet range that was kind of believable, like, because he was affable enough that you could buy him as he's just a deputy sheriff that everyone likes, but there's something wrong with that boy.
I'm trying to think of how I would classify him as a criminal. Like, is he a serial killer? Kind of. Is he just a murderer who killed out of rage, or is he?
He's a nut job.
Nut job is probably the best way to put it. But I mean, studying, reading up on true crime has been something of a hobby of mine over the years, and I feel like this is not a terribly realistic portrayal of a serial killer. I feel like the movie's kind of trying to have it both ways. There are traces of the antisocial personality, the Ted Bundy type, who charms everyone, who has kind of that superficial charm, and everyone who meets him likes him. But that is not what he is at all. If I were to meet this guy in person, I would think there is something wrong with this man. He is not acting like a normal person. He's not emoting like a normal person.
Yeah, and there are several instances in the movie where that's, you know, clearly, you know, the case when he finds out the one kid was hung. He's like, oh, thanks for calling. And there's, like, no emotion to his voice. It's deadpan.
Yeah, now that could match yet another pretty common profile of a serial killer. I want to say John Wayne Gacy was like this. He had kind of the domineering mother figure. Who thoroughly, you know, fucked him up in childhood, and this movie is not subtle about the ways in which he is messed up from his Lou, played by Casey Affleck, is messed up from his childhood. I mean, we flat out see him engaging in an abusive and incestuous relationship with his mother.
Yeah, his mother was a dirty whore.
Yeah, and it's not portrayed in a subtle way at all. He reaches past the copy of Freud on his shelf, and
there's the Bible.
And there's the Bible with naked pictures of his mom in it,
of her ass specifically.
Fairly graphic naked pictures of his mom. So that could be a pretty realistic depiction of kind of a twisted serial killer just who hates women.
He clearly hates women, that much is obvious.
But I don't really see that doesn't really ring true for me either, because I don't really see that type of serial killer keeping a steady relationship going. It does not make sense that this woman played by Kate Hudson, Rachel, I believe her name is.
I think it was Amy.
Oh, Amy, yeah. Got it up right here. It was Amy Stanton, now played by Kate Hudson, is in this steady, loving relationship with him. Now, granted, she turns on him pretty quickly but she only suspects that he's been cheating on her. So, at the very least, she thinks that he is a normal guy.
She
suspects him of normal guy sorts of betrayals.
You know, his improv skill when she discovers that he's been cheating on her by the proposal was great, because I want to try that out in my own personal life.
Oh, cheat on your girlfriend and then propose to her?
And then she finds out, and then be like, but honey, I was going to propose.
It's like a freebie, yeah.
No, exactly. That is your ace in the hole.
Okay, but that appears to be the only thing that this guy is good at. He's certainly not good at murder. I mean, very first thing that we see him do, he shoots what's his name, Elroy, dead.
Yeah.
And he's got this plan to beat the living hell out of Joyce, played by Jessica Alba, and we see, and I must add, we see this extended beatdown sequence where he's beating her up with gloves, which is kind of the film's only nod to the realism of the scene where he would have marks on his knuckles. There would be some forensic evidence.
Right, but there's no blood on his shirt.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, in a way, the film kind of
facing.
It exists in this sort of weird reality of, okay, this could only happen in the 40s and 50s because he would leave all kinds of forensic evidence everywhere he goes. But even that doesn't matter so much as even in a world without modern forensics, without CSI and infinite image enhancement, he still is not very good at what he does. It's like he wants to beat them to within an inch of their lives and then watch them
suffer.
Die on their own, suffer on their own. Yeah. His plan to kill Elroy and make it look like he had killed Joyce did not make a lick of sense unless he puts one into Jessica Alba's head.
I looked at you after that scene took place, and I'm like, what is he doing? Like, why wouldn't he? If it's supposed to be a murder suicide, how is her face is caved in actually like leaks any evidence to be a murder suicide? It makes no sense to me.
Well, none of his murder plots make any particular amount of sense, and I could admire the film if this is a story of a murderer who is not particularly good.
And that's fun to have your characters have faults. I appreciate that.
Have just complete ineptitude.
But
even
at least explain it a little bit, because it happens, and we don't get the. You know, he, like, as a narrator, because he narrates throughout the movie.
Yes.
He never says, like, oh, I should have done it this way, or maybe, like, regrets, maybe I should have put a bullet in her head or something. Right. And it's just like, well, now I gotta kill more people.
It's very matter of fact, and it's interesting because I would contrast this with something like Dexter, the Showtime series, in which the protagonist is also a murderer. Now, granted, That's a show that straddles a very fine line as far as the sympathy for its main character, because he's a murderer who is essentially a vigilante. He kills people that he thinks are evil, and in that sense, he's really no different than, say, like a Jack Bauer. He's just a different kind of mass murderer.
Never compare anyone to Jack Bauer.
Fair enough.
He's the perfect man.
But comparing in this film, he is unequivocally the protagonist, and the narration completely lets him off the hook. It's completely neutral as to what he's doing. It's just him saying, "Well, going on about my life, gonna have to kill a few more people." And the soundtrack, I have to say, is completely jarring in this movie.
Upbeat 50s tunes.
Oh, yeah, these little folksy numbers, and he has these flashbacks to his relationship with Joyce. And in which it's the same sort of flashbacks you would see in like a post breakup kind of moment in like a romantic comedy, or like a romantic drama, like, oh god, it was so great when I was with her. It might even be with sort of a sad twinge, like, oh, she died in a car accident or something. But it's not that. It's you murdered this woman and you are looking back fondly on the happy moments of your relationship with her, and the music is completely supporting you in this. I mean, it's like this movie takes place entirely within this guy's head.
Yeah, when he kills Amy Stanton, Kate Hudson's character, like, I don't know how he killed her. Like, he punches her in the gut, and then he's just like, well,
time to watch her die. Yeah.
And then he's just standing there, he starts to read the paper, but that doesn't work, and he's like, why isn't she dead?
Yeah, it's like a, I mean, I guess we're meant to think it's like a Harry Houdini kind of thing.
Ridiculous. Like, he's just like, well, she had to die. Murder suicide, that's how I'll solve all my problems.
Yeah, he talks about it in the same way that you might that somebody might plan breaking up with someone, like at that moment I knew that I couldn't be with her anymore. But he says it with that kind of matter of factness, like, well, I knew I was gonna have to kill her. It was a thought that was just nagging at me. And that was at least a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit of depth to the character, and I didn't understand his relationship with some of the other characters very well. The union boss.
Played by Elias Koteas. And I kind of have a hard time finding fault with his performance in anything. I really like this.
His performance was fine. It was just his character. I didn't understand. He's like, well, all the evidence points to you. I know you did it. You're not going to get off the hook this time. This better not come back to me.
I feel like this is one of the few bits of the movie that actually did make sense to me, because I think from his point of view, he had just tipped off Lou about this connection with his brother having been killed, possibly by this guy's by Elroy's father. So the idea of him killing Elroy for revenge, which I think we're meant to believe is the actual motivation behind it, is that
yeah, at least initially. But then I thought that maybe Lou killed his brother, later on, because, you know, I can't remember who the DA was.
Okay.
But the DA basically said, you killed everyone. Like, you know.
Oh, that would be the DA, Howard Hendricks, played by Simon Baker, I believe.
Yeah, he was saying, you killed everyone. Like, these are all, he's like, six murders.
I think he said four or five.
You say four or five? So you have Kate Hudson, Alba, Johnny, and...
We have Elroy, that's four.
Elroy.
Oh, and we have the Drifter. That's five.
That's five. Yeah.
Although the Drifter was not killed by him, it was killed was killed by that other deputy. It's an interesting case because that's very much sort of a case of like two things were happening in this scene. One, a Drifter was running through the streets, or
yelling
somebody who
help.
Appeared to be a Drifter was running
yelling
through the streets.
For help,
yelling for help, and a guy was running after him with a knife.
Right.
And you, as a sheriff's deputy, you pull out your rifle. Who are you aiming it at?
I mean, I guess if I were the sheriff's deputy, I'd be like, hey, that guy has a knife. I should probably tell him to drop the knife.
Yeah, it's not a case of, he spotted him from 100 yards away and said, oh, that's my friend, he's also a cop, I must take his word for it, he killed so-and-so. Like, he's not a threat, he's running, he doesn't have a weapon. You order him to stop. You don't plug him for no reason. And so we're meant to believe that this is sort of a case of, I mean, it's sort of a stereotype of both old-time policing and of Texas policing as well.
Probably still to this day.
But there's this moment where they I'll just leave that to speculate.
I like Texas.
Thank you for putting that on the record, sir. I have no problem with Texas. I do not feel any pressing need to mess with them. But anyway, we get to this moment where he's being confronted. This is the very end, the very last scene in the movie, where he's being confronted by all of his enemies, including, inexplicably, Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is somehow still alive.
Right, even though they said, oh, she died.
And they had no reason to lie about that. Yeah. Unless they already suspected him, but they gave no indication that they did. I mean, that was...
The only one who did was the DA.
Yeah.
The DA from the beginning had it pinned on Lou.
I guess I'm almost inclined to say that that... I have another interpretation of that scene. She wasn't actually there. That he was imagining it. Because what happens in the scene sort of supports that. Because imagine that a version of that scene in which she's not there. She steps forward. He starts talking nonsense to somebody who's not there, and then he lunges forward with the knife. Now, if she's not actually there, then they are shooting. Then they are shooting him because he's lunging at them with a knife. But in fact, they shoot right through her and into him. So they have no interest in saving her life. Like, he has stabbed her. They shoot her as many times as they shoot him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't think of that, but that's certainly...
I didn't think of that until just now.
Yeah, that's certainly a good interpretation of that scene. But what
makes a hell of a lot more sense than her being alive for no reason.
The movie's relatively serious in its tone throughout the entire movie.
I'm not sure I would agree with that. I feel like the tone was kind of uneven. At times it almost seemed like darkly comedic. It almost seemed like it was trying to evoke sort of a film noir thing with kind of a with kind of just a fatalistic humor to it.
But the last scene got whimsical. Like, oh, here's the villain. Here's this guy. You
don't have any lines. You probably don't have a last name either. Yeah, you're not important. But yeah, there's all that, and then he sets off this prearranged sort of like fire and explosion. I'm kind of wondering why none of the people who walked in didn't smell gasoline.
Exactly. Actually, I was thinking, I'm like, why wouldn't they smell gasoline?
That ending was.
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah, it was. I mean. What I'm inclined to think is that the more plausible ending would be that moment where they confront him and the initial confrontation
before
they take him to jail, they haul him off to the nut house, or they just shoot him right there. Like that's
I would say him being in the insane asylum, that should have been it.
That was the real ending.
Yeah,
where he's walking down the hallway like, now I'm in the insane asylum.
Right.
And again, the music is sort of cracking wise, but...
I don't know. It didn't make any... The ending was, like, just so out there. Yeah. I was staring at the credits, and I was like, what the fuck was that?
And that's kind of where I'm at as well, and I think with that we should wrap it up. Daniel, should anyone see this movie?
Certainly people from Texas... because they can see an accurate depiction of their law enforcement. I'm just kidding.
It is an educational documentary.
I'm kidding. I've been to Texas. It's lovely. Who should see that movie? Maybe. I would say anyone who likes the 50s. Like, it has a nice little setting to it. It's the accent's a little thick, so I put the subtitles on in case you're, you know, new to that.
I would definitely agree with that.
People who like serial killer movies, probably, or just appreciate Kate Hudson and Jessica Alba.
Hey, we didn't talk about Kate Hudson. I kind of liked her performance in this movie. Now, I've not seen her act in a while, but I liked what she brought to the table here.
Yeah, I would agree. And she's hot, so.
And with that, that brings us to the end of our review. I think this movie should be seen by very few people. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Especially
I think you covered a lot of the categories I would include. So, and with that, that is the end of our review of The Killer Inside Me. And have a good night.
Treat me right, you give me fever when